everybody loves a night out, whether it's seeing your favorite band in person or maybe being there in the crowd to cheer on your favorite team. Well, with the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program, you can go to the concert or show of your choice and earn credit towards your next live event. Vivid Seats is the top source for tickets for all the live events you want to go to. You can sort by price or look for seats in the section and row of your choice, all in the Vivid Seats app. To make things even better, Vivid Seats now has a loyalty program that allows fans to earn credit back. All you need to do is use the Vivid Seats app to purchase tickets and start earning today. Go to the App Store or Google Play and download the Vivid Seats app. Fans are automatically enrolled in the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program. Every purchase is backed by a 100% buyer guarantee. From the biggest concerts and games to the hottest theater shows and more, Vivid Seats has it all. Download the app and join the Vivid Seats Rewards loyalty program today. Make a memory that lasts a lifetime and let the Vivid Seats app help you get to your favorite live event. Enter promo code ESPN25 for 10% off your next order.
NFL playoffs. 7 of the 8 teams playing this weekend did not get this far last year. Who can keep it going? Also, you say the NBA is too dramatic? Kevin Durant's like, hold my mentions. And goalie goal, Pecorine national panel. Here's a trivia question for you right now. How many have there been all time?
12.
Oh, 12 players, 15 goals. Very good. And who was on the call of the game last night who had one? Oh, no one's got Chris Mason. Oh, mutes all around. We'll move on. All eyes on the Cleveland Browns. Pressure on this team and this coaching hire to get it right. Today's interview, the private jet flying Josh McDaniels in. He's the 8th interview. McCarthy, already gone. Roman, Bieniemy, Stefanski, Daboll, Sella, and Schwartz. Mina, is McDaniels the guy for this job?
I think it's a pretty good choice. From a football perspective, he is a brilliant play caller. I know people look at the Patriots offense this season. It hasn't been great, but I think a lot of that's due to the lack of talent. They still finished 11th in efficiency, which is remarkable. But what the Browns really need, Tony, and I think this should be the primary concern here, is someone who can lead, someone who can set a culture. Now, people will point to Josh's tenure in Denver and say, oh, he struggled with that back then, but that was 10 years ago. None of us are the same people we were 10 years ago, except for Woody. So I think he deserves the benefit of the doubt, and I think, you know, he would be a good choice for Cleveland, given what he's accomplished.
Woody Page?
Yes, I agree with Mina, but I'll go beyond that, Mina. He grew up in Canton, Ohio. He is a Cleveland kind of guy, and he loves Ohio, and he played high school and college ball there, and I think he's always wanted to go back there. He's interviewed twice before, and it didn't work out, so the third time, I think, is a charm.
Okay.
He's bringing his wife with him, and I know from having been around him and being close to him for a couple of years that he doesn't make a tough decision if she's not with him. I think this is the first, and this is the first time that actually she's gone on an interview during this season. So I think that there are a lot of reasons. Now, as a coach, yes, he's matured since he was here. He was 32 years old. His veteran defensive coaches didn't like him. They leaked all sorts of information to try and get him out of there. He brought in his brother, who was about 26, to be the quarterback coach, and he just didn't know how to handle the situation. Now I think he does.
Sarah Spain, how do you read this?
1 point. What?
I'm amazed you got at point. I was confused by some of that. But no, listing all the reasons that he's failed in other places to me is not the best way to buoy an argument that he's going to succeed this time.
Thank you,
I think
Sarah
there is
Spain.
A good argument for why Eric Bieniemy might have been the guy here, particularly because of the way we've seen Andy Reid's coaching tree succeed and the problems that maybe have existed with people who followed up Belichick. I think Mina's point is a valid one in that it's not just about being a good coach who can make good play calls. It's about being a leader and changing an atmosphere there. This is Haslam's 5th choice for a head coach. 4 of them have not made it a full 3 years. 2 of them have not made it past 1 year. This is about being strong enough to institute change in a place that desperately needs it. And I'm only concerned about the fact that he has had other opportunities and hasn't been able to do that. But like Mina said, maybe he's different by now.
And Kevin Blackstone.
Well, you mentioned the important name there, Jimmy Haslam. The top has not changed. So I'm not sure who you bring in is going to really change the culture of the Cleveland Browns. But let's maybe give Josh McDaniels that shot. Maybe give Stefanski that shot. Maybe give Eric Bieniemy, whose resume is absolutely sterling now under Andy Reid and what he's done with Patrick Mahomes and that offense out in Kansas City. Give him a shot. But do we really know what anybody's going to be able to do once they get to Cleveland and they find out that what we all know, that the head is still the same? That's the problem here in Washington, and I think that's still a big problem in Cleveland.
Nina, can I ask you one more question about McDaniels? You brought up 10 years ago with Denver, and yes, maybe a lot has changed in 10 years. It's 2 years ago with the Indianapolis Colts. And the jilting of that franchise, how much of that do you think is in play?
Well, I think that was a complicated situation that had something to do with Colts ownership as well. But I think from a pure football perspective, we don't know the culture stuff. We don't know the leadership stuff, right? We make guesses about these guys, but we have no idea what it's actually going to be like when they get in the building. But we do know what he's capable of as a football coach. And I know, or I believe, that the Cleveland Browns have more talent on that offense than Cleveland does, or pardon me, than New England does, right? So given what he was able to accomplish with New England this year, what he's been able to accomplish throughout his tenure there, I think he can come in to Cleveland and
so
fix that
up. So to answer a question I haven't asked yet, Mina Kimes says, yes, the right coach can make the Browns into the team we thought they are. Woody, do you agree with that?
Yes, Freddie Kitchens became the coach because of his relationship with Baker Mayfield. I can tell you from my sources that Josh McDaniels really does like Baker Mayfield. And so if he gets totally into it, remember he's the guy who got Cassell to win 12 games that year that Brady was out.
Matt Castle, yeah. It might take a little bit more than just liking Baker Mayfield, though. You might have to actually do some of the coaching, but we'll move on. Let's talk. Woody, I have a serious question for you, actually. We're going to talk basketball. You've covered the leagues, NBA and ABA, for six decades. Did Bob Cousy ever leave a sharply worded post-it note in a player's locker saying, good sir, have the court vision of a naked mole rat, you do? You average 2 and 3. No, yet. But Kevin Durant versus Kendrick Perkins, I mean, this is just incredible, Woodrow. Sarah Spain, I'm going to start with you because this is more your jurisdiction. What's going on here? How bad is this? How good is this?
Well, first of all, Kevin Durant, leave the journalism to the pros. It was actually 2 and 4, apparently, not 2 and 3, and that makes a world of difference, obviously. What's going on is a guy who's very bored because he's injured and a guy who's now being paid to stir things up are interacting in a public forum. Is this good for the NBA? Absolutely. People love drama. People love NBA Sweet Valley High conversations between guys who want in. They want out. They don't like each other. Is this good for them? And we're not going to change Kevin Durant. This is clearly who he is. I think those who want to like him are going to say they like him in spite of what he does on the internet. And those who are predisposed to not like his decision making and therefore who he is as a human being are going to say that this just adds to what they already thought about him.
Woody Page?
This does no good for the NBA. I've been to their offices. I don't think they're there this morning going, whoa, wow, this is the best thing that's happened to us in the last 3 weeks in regard to positive news. This is beneath the players. It's especially beneath Kevin Durant. We don't really care about Kendrick Perkins anymore. He was a 2 and 4. He was a triple single waiting to happen every night. But in regard to Bob Cousy, Tony, as an aside, yeah. He came up once and introduced himself to me. He was a gentleman of
yes,
first class.
Yes, of course.
I don't think this made any sense whatsoever. Kevin Durant at least didn't use a burner, as I was mentioning yesterday. He did it with his own voice. But why does he keep doing this? If you want to be loyal to the Nets, but to pick on a player that's retired, that makes no sense.
Mina Kimes?
Thank you.
Wow, speaking of burners, Woody taking the flamethrower to Kendrick Perkins there. I liked it. I thought it was funny. I am tired of concerned trolling Kevin Durant, as Sarah pointed out. It's who he is, and I don't think we have any right or knowledge, I guess, about how it affects him as a human being. Personally, I thought it was kind of funny, even if he did make a mistake there. And also, by the way, Perk was wrong. KD is obviously the best player in Thunder history.
Mm-hmm. Kevin Blackstone, you have a read on this?
Well, it's just entertainment, which is what the NBA is. And I don't think there's any professional sports league in this country that is more tied into pop culture as it is today or as it was even 20 years ago than the NBA. And Kevin Durant happens to live a life on Twitter. We know that. That's fine. Kendrick Perkins put his out there. That's fine. It's enjoyable. We're not talking about real games in the NBA today. Right now, we're talking about a beef on Twitter between two guys who aren't even playing. That's incredible.
Sarah,
news
did
the
you
NBA.
Want to add something?
That's good. Not malicious.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, as a loyal ESPN employee, that unlike Woody, I, for one, very much care about our colleague, Kendrick Perkins.
Oh, would you please, Sarah? But he could take it. He could absolutely take it. You know, Blackstone, you got me worried that we're not talking about the games. I'd like to talk about Russell Westbrook's return to OKC last night. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
His love for Oklahoma City was on display, and vice versa. And also, well, his passion was on display. On the end of the bench here, stewing during that timeout mid-loss, James Harden came over, Harden the interruption, to talk him through it. Woody, how'd you see it all?
I enjoyed exactly the way he handled it and the way they handled it. They've been very courteous to the two guys that have left them, Paul George and Russell Westbrook. And, you know, once again, we've got the video. But I liked he came out and did his normal routine from when he was there before the game, even to the point of shooting the arrow into top deck to actually recognize those fans. Going over to the Thunder employees that were on the front row and talking to them. The thing with him going to the end of the bench, that doesn't bother me. We all get frustrated. He just thought we should be winning this game. Oklahoma has won 7 out of their last 8, though, so they're not a pusher.
KB.
Can we applaud all this? I mean, I thought it was gracious on the part of the fans. I thought it was gracious on the part of Westbrook. I thought his statement at the end, where you could see he was actually emotional about it, was great, calling the best fans he ever had. I thought that was fantastic. We need a little bit more of that in sports and a little bit less of the other stuff.
Yeah, he did all the right things before the game. He said all the right things after the game. And in the game, he was exactly the Russ that we usually appreciate, a guy who was incredibly passionate and was angry that they were losing, especially on a night that meant so much to him. I think that's okay.
And Mina Kimes.
Like everybody, I loved it. And earlier I said Katie was right because he is the best player in franchise history. But Russell Westbrook is the most important player. And I think that's why we saw that sort of reception last night.
It's a good distinction. I like that. Take a break right here. Buy or sell on the other side. Your picks. Your picks for the divisional round of the playoffs. Mina Kimes, Woody Page, Sarah Spade, Kevin Blackstone. Right, give it to me. Give it to me. The mute button's ready. Right here.
Right there.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
We're going through all the games in chronological order. My chronological clock is ticking like this. Vikings, 49ers, playoff debut for Garoppolo and the Niners team here. Big game, big Cousins. And Thielen and Diggs both on the injury report this week. Everybody's really banged up, though. Quan Alexander back for San Fran. Another comeback from season-ending pec injury. Mina, who or what is the X factor in this one?
I'm going to go with George Kittle. I think he is the most multi-purpose deadly weapon in the NFL. I'd call him a Swiss Army knife, but that seems insufficient because a Swiss Army knife can't bowl you over and punch you in the face. Also, the Vikings defense is the best in the league. At least, I don't know, maybe in some people's hands it can.
Yeah.
The Vikings defense is the best in the league at defending tight ends. So
Kittle, X-Factor for you. Woody Page, how about you?
The secondary of the Vikings, two guys that are hurt. Xavier Rhodes had his worst season, giving up 83.8% of passes in his territory, according to Pro Football Focus. And I think San Francisco is going to probe him like we see aliens from another planet do humans.
All right, sure. I'll take your word for it. Spain.
I'm going to go Dalvin Cook because even though I think the Niners will win, I thought the same thing about the Vikings versus the Saints. And if Dalvin Cook can establish early and allow Kirk Cousins to use the play action to be as effective as he was against the Saints,
KB.
It's a really close one.
I'm going to go with Garoppolo. We had a lot of questions about Kirk Cousins coming into these playoffs. He answered those. We have not seen Garoppolo in the playoffs as anything other than a backup. So let's see what he does as a starter.
Okay, make a pick. Everybody yell it out. I heard some picks in there, but give me the team name.
Niners.
49ers.
Everybody's got San Fran. We move on. Titans, Ravens. Only way to beat Lamar Jackson is to keep him off the field. Only way to beat Lamar Jackson is to hit Lamar Jackson. Only way to beat Lamar Jackson, outscore the Ravens. Trademark Mina Kimes.
Thank you.
Woody, do you think how Vrabel and the Titans executed against the Patriots last week gives them a shot to pull off the upset?
Absolutely. I mean, you've got a situation of Roman against Pease. MVPs and Roman have met before in the Super Bowl. San Francisco, Baltimore. Pease won that battle. I think he knows what Roman likes to do. He knows what to do against Lamar Jackson because before he beat Kaepernick in that game. Pease is
okay,
an underrated.
Okay, man, this is like a history lesson wizard. You're giving us here on coordinators. You believe the coordinator is the X factor in this game. Spade, how about you?
Absolutely not. Because you couldn't find two more opposite quarterbacks than Lamar Jackson and Tom Brady. You're not going to beat the Ravens if Tannehill has 72 yards, even if Henry is doing amazing things on the ground. You need a completely different game plan. They're the only team to not have seen the Ravens in the regular season. They're going to get blown out of the water early before they can ever figure out how to stop them.
Outside voice from Sarah Spade as well. Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
But the question is, do they have a plan that could impact this game that could win them the game? And the only way you do that is to make Lamar Jackson as little a part of this game as possible. And the only way you do that is to keep him off the field.
Oh, yes, keep him off the field. Sure.
You get a chance, keep it close, anything can happen.
Mita Kimes?
Lock him in a closet.
I totally disagree. Yes, Derrick Henry was a beast. They were on the field. You know how many points they scored? 14. The Ravens haven't scored fewer than 28 points this entire season. Ryan Tannehill needs to come through for them to have a shot in this one.
Make a pick. Let me hear it again.
Ravens.
Baltimore.
Ravens.
Everybody's got the Ravens. We'll move on. Texans Chiefs. Forecast for Kansas City on Sunday early afternoon. 35 degrees, partly cloudy. KC a 10-point favorite. Last time these two met at Arrowhead, week 6. Houston 31, KC 24. Sarah Spain, let me ask it to you this way. How much do you think that game means come Sunday, and what will decide this game?
It means a little bit for the Texans in terms of confidence, but that's about it. The Chiefs were in the midst of a tough 6-4 start. Mahomes had a sore ankle. Personnel wasn't all healthy in there. This is a different Chiefs team. The only chance the Texans have is if Deshaun Watson is doing the Warlockian things we saw him do in that last game. And even then, I think the Chiefs are too strong.
KB.
Well, he could certainly do those things. And, you know, they get a little help back, a little inspiration with J.J. Watt. But, no, Sarah's absolutely right. I mean, the Chiefs are just too overwhelming talent-wise. And after what they went through last year, you know they're going into these playoffs with a chip on
their shoulder. Mina Kimes?
Doesn't mean anything. Not only was Mahomes hurt, Chris Jones, who might be the most underrated pass rusher in the NFL, did not play. Okay? And him against that Texans offensive line is not pretty.
And Woody Page?
Mahomes was gimpy the last time. That was a major reason. But what we've seen from the Chiefs in the last 6 games, giving up 11.5 points, the defense has come together for them. That's the difference.
Mahomes did have 3 touchdowns in that game despite his gimpiness. Make a pick. Let me hear the music. Let me hear it.
Chiefs.
I'm really sensing a trend here. 3 home teams. We'll move on. This might be the game you go the other way. Seahawks, Packers, the forecast for Green Bay on Saturday, 10 inches of snow. Can we convince them to maybe not shovel? Russell Wilson, Aaron Rodgers, you know this game is going to come down to the last play. You just know it. Kevin Blackstone, I'll ask it to you this way. Will the better quarterback win Sunday?
No, the better quarterback in this game is going to be Russell Wilson, and he's not going to win because since 1993, the free agency period, any time in December, January, has been a significant snowfall in Green Bay. Guess who's won? The Packers. And that's what you got this week.
And you believe that statistic is going to
absolutely
really matter to guys playing in 2020?
Yes.
Okay. Mita Kimes, how about you?
I think it's Russell Wilson. I think they will win because his strengths, passing deep, play action, are the Packers' defense's weaknesses.
So there we go. That's the first underdog or the first team that's not the first road team somebody in this panel's picked. Woody Page, how about you?
Oh, Mina picking Seattle. Shocking. Shocking. Oh, it's going to be.
I don't usually pick
them. I will say this for you, Mina. I was there for a game when the Giants came in and were underdogs and they beat the Packers there. So it could happen. However, the best quarterback for now in this situation in Green Bay is Aaron Rodgers. He is going to lead his team to victory.
What makes you say Rodgers is the better quarterback playing right now, Woody Page?
He knows how to play on that stadium. I'm sorry, Seattle.
Sarah Spain, how about you? I want to hear Russell Wilson's stat at Lambeau, Woody. That's what I want to hear. Go ahead, Sarah.
Yeah, Mina Kimes finally picked a road team, but she was still a homer somehow, which is an amazing thing to accomplish. Listen, the best quarterback right now is Russell Wilson because Aaron Rodgers' numbers are down, but the best quarterback at home is going to be Aaron Rodgers. Russell Wilson has been bad at Lambeau. The Seahawks together have lost 8 in a row. They're the 1-9 all-time at Lambeau. Russell Wilson has 6 interceptions to 3 touchdowns.
Oh, there you go.
And
actual
with the
stats,
weather,
Woody
that
Page.
Run game is going to
you
matter.
See, that would have bolstered your argument. You could have told me Wilson was 0-3 all-time at Lambeau, which you did not. But still enough to advance. Look at those scores. Kimes, Blackstone. Good job ripping it around. So, I mean, we did 4 games, 3 games home team, and then for the 4th game, just 1 panelist picking Seattle. Taking a break right here. Showdown next.
Mutes are coming.
Woody Page, Sarah Spain.
Feel the mutes.
There's crispy. And then there's crispy-er. Try our new and improved Tyson Crispy Chicken Strips. Crispy just got crispy-er.
Is today the night of the national championship game? No! What is going on here? The anticipation is killing me, and I do not hope it will last. For the eons we've been waiting, the bets have grown thicker and the spread has grown larger. 6 points now, LSU. 80% of the money's on LSU. Woody, is it really that much a sure thing?
No, I don't believe it at all. When you got Lawrence on one side of the ball, you got Simmons on the other side of the ball, who is a disruptor, this is going to come down to the final possession. So that line is out of whack, as far as I'm concerned.
I think the home advantage for LSU is probably what's moving this line, but underestimating Clemson and Trevor Lawrence is foolhardy to me. So, no, it's going to be a lot closer.
Foolhardy for the fool. Okay, speaking foolhardy. Of. Yes. All right, let's put the point.
Speaking of fools.
We'll move on. Goalie goal. There have been goalie goal. Come on. How many have there been all time? You know it. You said it earlier, Sarah.
15 goals, 12
yes,
people.
Yes. Ron Hextall to Martin Brodeur did it a couple times. Where does Pecorine's rank? What's the most impressive part, Sarah?
The most impressive part of this is the loft, but even more impressive is what you mentioned earlier, that the man on the call, Chris Mason, is one of those other 12 goaltenders, which is just all outstanding. I love that.
Sarah, it has to be in the top 5 because it looked like a truck tire going down the interstate. Did you see the way it was wobbling the ankles and the way it went in?
All right, so you have it in the top 5, Woody. If you want this FaceTime, you got to give me the other 4 in your top 5.
I give up.
Okay, Sarah Spain. You could have said Brodeur and Hextall a couple times. Simon, you would have got there.
While the nation is captivated by this Jeopardy tournament, we're also considering that 79-year-old Alex Trebek has said that his tenure with Jeopardy will not last forever, which leads us to wonder who would be a good replacement. And Dan Patrick suggested the one and only Tony Reale. And let me be someone who is certainly not seeking out the hosting gig of this show, be the first to say that I think that Tony Reale would be a tremendous selection to be the next host of Jeopardy. I mean, that's a
thank you very much, Sarah Spain. Yes, I don't want to live in a world where Alex Trebek isn't hosting Jeopardy, honestly. That's going to do it, folks. Thanks for coming around. We are on at 4:30 on Monday. So for the first time ever, I get to say a 71-hour break.